ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 23. Sattvam rajas tamaiti prakite gunaste. Yukta para purusha eka ihasya date. Sistiti adaya harivirunchi hareti samgya. Siddhi adaya hai virinchi hareti samgya. Shreyam sita trakalu sattvata noni namshu. Sattvam, goodness. Raja, passion. Tama, the darkness of ignorance. Iti, that. Prakriti, of the material nature. Guna, qualities. Tai, by them. Yukta, associated with. Para, transcendental. Purusha, the personality. Eka, one. Iha asya, of this material world. Date, accept. Stiti adaye, for the matter of creation, maintenance, and destruction. Etc. Hari, Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. Virinchi, Brahma. Hara, Lord Shiva. Iti, thus. Samgya, different features. Shreyamsi, ultimate benefit. Tatra, therein. Kalu, of course. Sattva, goodness. Tano, form. Nirnam, of the human being. Su, derived. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The transcendental personality of Godhead is indirectly associated with the three modes of material nature, namely passion, goodness, and ignorance. And just for the material world's creation, maintenance, and destruction, he accepts the three qualitative forms of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Of these three, all human beings can derive ultimate benefit from Vishnu, the form of the quality of goodness. Purport. That Lord Sri Krishna, by his plenary parts, should be rendered devotional service, as explained above. That Lord Sri Krishna, by his plenary parts, should be rendered devotional service, as explained above, is confirmed by the statement. Lord Sri Krishna and all his plenary parts are Vishnu Tattva, or the Lordship of Godhead. From Sri Krishna, the next manifestation is Baladev. From Baladev is Sankarshan. From Sankarshan is Narayan. From Narayan there is the second Sankarshan, and from this Sankarshan the Vishnu Purusha avatars. The Vishnu, or the deity of the quality of goodness in the material world, is the Purusha avatar known as Shirodakshaya Vishnu or Paramatma. Brahma is the deity of Rajas, passion, and Shiva of ignorance. They are the three departmental heads of the three qualities of this material world. Creation is made possible by the goodness of Vishnu, and when it requires to be destroyed, Lord Shiva does it by the Tandava Nirtya. The materialist and the foolish human beings worship Brahma and Shiva respectively, but the pure transcendentalists worship the form of goodness Vishnu in its various forms. Vishnu is manifested by his millions and billions of integrated forms and separated forms. The integrated forms are called Godhead, and the separated forms are called the living entities or the jivas. Both the jivas and Godhead have their original spiritual forms. Jivas are sometimes subjected to the control of material energy, but the Vishnu forms are always controllers of this energy. When Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, appears in the material world, he comes to deliver the conditioned living beings who are under the material energy. Such living beings appear in the material world with intentions of being lords, and thus they become entrapped by the three modes of nature. As such, the living entities have to change their material coverings for undergoing different terms of imprisonment. The prison house of the material world is created by Brahma under instruction of the personality of Godhead. And at the conclusion of a kalpa, the whole thing is destroyed by Shiva. But as far as maintenance of the prison house is concerned, it is done by Vishnu, as much as the state prison house is maintained by the state. Anyone, therefore, who wishes to get out of this prison house of material existence, which is full of miseries, like repetition of birth, death, disease, and old age, must please Lord Vishnu for such liberation. Lord Vishnu is worshipped by devotional service only, and if anyone has to continue prison life in the material world, he may ask for relative facilities for temporary relief from different demigods like Shiva, Brahma, Indra, and Varuna. No demigod, however, can release the imprisoned living being from the conditioned life of material existence. This can be done only by Vishnu. Therefore, the ultimate benefit may be derived from Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swami Prakaramina Stati Swaparam Tupam Mukam Karoti Vajram Pangam Langayate Kirim Yakripat Maham Bandeshi Gurun Dinatarinam Pancha Kalpa Trivishcha Kipasim Divya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we are reading a chapter, Divinity and Divine Service, and specifically in this text we're being told about the quality of Krishna, which is actually the basis of the Krishna conscious philosophy expounded by Lord Chaitanya himself, Achincha Beda Beda Tattva, that the Lord simultaneously gets in touch with the material energy and at the same time he's not affected. So this is a point that we have to settle in our minds so that we do not get disturbed. How is it that Krishna is in the material world and he does not get contaminated? He says in Bhagavad Gita that he is the source of both energies. So how is this possible? So it is very important that we at least try to grasp how Krishna associates with matter through his planary parts and parcels and portions of portions and etc. and etc. So Prabhupada is explaining here that Krishna is indirectly associating with matter through his planary parts. So Krishna has the potency, Krishna has the shakti to actually get in touch with the material energy, but at the same time not get affected by it. Just as we have the example of electricity. Now, electricity simultaneously produces heat and it also produces freezing temperatures. Right? It's the same source. We might think naturally, you know, from heat comes light and warmth, etc. And this is coming from an electrical source. But at the same time, we have, you know, you open the fridge and everything is frozen. That is powered by electricity. So at the same time, Krishna is entering into the material energy, and at the same time, he's the basis of the spiritual creation as well. But when he comes into contact with matter, he doesn't become contaminated. That is why he expands himself in different parts and in different portions so that work in his material field and his material creation goes on. The purport is using the example of the material world being a prison house. For some, we have different examples of the material world being a dark well, being a forest of material suffering, so many different examples of the material world. So here it's the example of a prison house. So the state the state law or whoever's in charge of the prison makes all the rules, makes all the guidelines, knows the ins and outs of being in a prison, how to get in, how to get out, etc. So Krishna, in the bigger scheme of things, he's the creator of everything. The modes of material nature, the Mahatattva, in his plenary portions from the Purusha avatars, he's entering into the different atoms, he's entering into the different universes at the same time. And in this way, things go on in his inferior energy, in his material world. So this is happening by dint of his plenary portions. But those who are intelligent understand that to actually get freed from the comings and goings of association with matter, one must take shelter of Lord Vishnu or Krishna. So this purport, these few verses are explaining how the Lord associates in creation either through his Vishnu tattvas, who are the Godheads, or through his jivas, the empowered jivas. And the distinction is firmly given that, well, first of all, both the jivas and the gods, they have their eternal spiritual forms. That is there. But if you dive deeper and you find out the difference between Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva, Vishnu Tattva is never at any point influenced by the three modes of material nature. Whereas the Jiva Tattva, although sometimes we may be empowered in different ways to be a great demigod or to be an administrator, we can get contaminated by these three modes of material nature. And we see throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam different examples of that, different instances where these empowered living beings, these Jiva Tattvas, they get contaminated by either the mode of passion or ignorance, and they act in a specific way. Although they're carrying out Krishna's administrative functions within the material world. So Vishnu Tattva is always supremely independent, whereas Jiva Tattva, we are always dependent. Even for creation, Lord Brahma is dependent on the Supreme Brahman, Lord Krishna, Vishnu. Therefore, for his creation, for his section, his service, his devotional service to Krishna, for creating matter which rests on spirit, Lord Brahma depends on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By himself, although he's very powerful, he's very elevated, he cannot do anything. So this is the position of Jiva Tattva. Although you may be elevated, you know, right from the Indra Gopa right up to Lord Brahma, we are supremely dependent on the energies of the Lord, either directly or indirectly. For remembrance, for forgetfulness, for maintenance, for destruction, we are dependent on the Shakti of the Lord. We cannot, as Jivas, we cannot at any time actually be independent. This is Prabhupada normally uses the very, very simple example how the hand cannot try and be happy by being independent from the body. It cannot have its own, its independent life. I will not, you know, walk with you. I will not go here or there. There's no such thing. It's a hoax. We are putting ourselves in illusion. So the Supreme Lord is the only controller, and all others are actually controlled by him. Now the problem that happens when Krishna's parts and parcels come into the material world, or come into to inhibit material existence, they become influenced by an inferior energy. Although we're a superior nature, we become influenced by an inferior energy, three modes of material nature. Krishna explains this in the 14th chapter when he's speaking to Arjuna, that material nature consists of three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. And when the eternal living entity comes into contact with nature, Almighty Arjuna, he becomes conditioned by these three modes. So we become conditioned to the feelings, to the sensations that are produced by the three modes of material nature. We take that as our heart and soul. We take that as our entire existence. So everything we actually do or say or think of is influenced by these three modes. So immediately when you enter into the material sphere or into the material domain, this is all imposed on you. As soon as you accept a material body, you know, all these things will be imposed. That is the package of having a material body. We have frailties, right? We get illusion, we have imperfect senses, we go through the 6 body changes, and it goes on and on and on. Very gross and subtle conditioning is there. And this happens by the association of these 3 modes of material nature. Whereas when Krishna comes in, so when Vishnu Tattva comes up, he does not get affected. Just as, you know, oil is not affected by water, even if you try mixing it. It doesn't get its chemical structure, its atomic and molecular binding does not get changed. You can try and add different things. You can try and heat up the water, add some oil, try and see if it will become one. It just doesn't work. Oil and water are not positively bonded. Just as the jiva cannot positively bond with material energy. The jiva is not designed by constitution to actually be in love or relish the material energy. Although the jivas in the conditioned state are trying to do that, but it always results in misery, of course. It always results in ignorance of what reality is. So because of this conditioning, we act under the spell of the modes of material nature. So acting under a spell basically means you have no control. When you're under someone's spell, like, you know, you have, when you're young, I don't know, maybe some of us read books about the witch and in the closet and this ghost and that ghost, and someone gets haunted by a ghost, etc. Even in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, we hear different personalities were haunted by a Brahmana ghost, Brahmana Rakshasas, etc. So when you become haunted or when you become put under a spell, you have no control. You are dominated over by a different energy. So when you're under the spell of illusion, when you're thinking, I belong in material existence, I belong to the material energy, you're put under a spell, and therefore you're controlled by that energy. This is what happens to the jiva. The jiva is put into this condition when he touches matter. And we see Krishna says he himself has created this inferior energy, he maintains it, he sustains it, and he doesn't get affected at the same time. Just as, you know, the oil does not get affected by water, it remains as it is. So Krishna does not get affected by the modes of material nature. And we see, we also, you know, go from one body to another. We're influenced by the different modes of material nature. We're busy jumping from body A to body B, being influenced by the 3 modes of material nature. And Krishna comes in his original transcendental form, even if it's in the form of Varahadev, Lord Boar, even if it's in the form of Matsya. These are all eternal features of the Lord. And they manifest certain potencies according to the pastime. Because Krishna says he comes to perform pastimes, and Krishna's pastimes are, you know, it's not this, you know, or he just comes as Krishna in his two-armed form, and all the time it's just Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Or he doesn't come as Hamsa, he doesn't come as Vamana or Kurma, etc. Krishna expands himself unlimitedly because he's the unlimited personality of Godhead. He suits every kind of situation in any species of life. Krishna can enter. It's not a problem. We cannot enter into the fish domain. We cannot become fish. We can swim in water, that's true. And sometimes we have, you know, when someone has been a swimmer for such a long time, we can see the shoulders and the body, you know, grows in a certain way. Like if you look at all these Ian Thorpes and all these different swimmers, their bodies kind of almost designed to look like a fish after some point. And then eventually, by the blessings of Mother Nature, they will get the body of a fish in their next life. So at this point, if we want to expand ourselves, you know, the different body changes, you know, you're there for some, you take birth, you're there for some time, you produce some byproducts. Those byproducts, you cannot produce fish byproducts. Right, we're in one species, we're humans, and that's it. Krishna appears in his own transcendental form. Right, that is not fazed by any tinge of matter. He comes as Lord Bor, he comes as Kurmadev, he comes, you know, as a transcendental Nara Narayan Rishi, he comes as Hiranyakashipu, Nrisingadev. So half man, half lion. You know, and that is an eternal form of the Lord. So we're limited. We cannot expand ourselves in different species of life. Krishna can do that through his different energies, as it's explaining. So we might get bewildered and limit Krishna and say, oh, Krishna comes here and there in so many different universes, how can this be one person? But understand that we have a power source in Melbourne, and people have electricity in Darwin, people have electricity in Tasmania, people have electricity in Botswana, people have electricity in Siberia, in Minsk, in Afghanistan, in Kazakhstan. There is electricity. So just as we can see, electricity goes everywhere, and it's still as powerful as in this light bulb, and it produces certain watts because we only need so much light in a room. So Krishna goes into different universes, he displays his pastimes as sufficient as it is for that particular mood that he's coming in. That is Krishna. And he still remains, you know, the supreme powerful source. He's the powerhouse for the material and the spiritual domains. So we understand Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, Bhumi apunala vayu kam manobuddhi evacha. Right. Most of the time, material scientists understand just earth, water, fire, air, ether. But when you come to mind intelligence, false ego, it's a bit of a blur. They do not understand how that is actually coming from Krishna, or how that is actually a material energy from Krishna. As far as they're concerned, you know, mind, intelligence, you know, some people have very powerful minds, they're seen as very, very spiritual. You bend a spoon with your eyes, or you move a kg of rice from one room to another, you're spiritually elevated. But we understand it is a material potency. Like you have your mystic cities, that is all within the scope of mysticism, that is material. That is material, subtle material energy. Now Krishna explained that the basis of all these earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, they are his separated energies. And he further on goes to explain that, you know, there's this inferior energy, but there's also a superior energy, and that comprises of living entities. But the twist is sometimes the living entities become conditioned by the inferior energy, and they forget their potency. They literally forget. So when you forget, when you're in a difficult situation and you're in danger and you forget that you can actually run that way, sometimes it happens to people. It's in a frightful situation, you just freeze. Right? A few of my friends, when they've been in difficult situations, either of abuse or etc., or violence, and when it happens, they just freeze. Everything just shuts down. They can't move anywhere. So the material energy just makes you stuck. If you absorb the material energy, you're just stuck in a rut, as they say. Like quicksand, but very, very slow quicksand. Like it slowly drags you down. This energy slowly pushes you deeper and deeper into ignorance of your original identity. So another point that is mentioned here about Vishnu Tattva and how the Lord starts expanding his different energies, first as the original Baladev Sankarshan, to Lord Narayan, to the second Sankarshan, and then the Purusha avatars. And then the whole creation begins. We have Mahavishnu, we have Shirdakashaya Vishnu, Gavudakashaya Vishnu, who are taking care of this material existence. So this is all happening. These are different energies of Krishna. Everything is coming from Krishna, from Lord Vishnu. And Krishna is known as Avatari, but all the incarnations are coming from him. So he's spreading out all his different energies, the Brahman, everything is coming from Krishna. So this material energy is just a separated field of Krishna's, a separated energy of the Lord. That's all it is. Powerful, as we can see. Krishna says, my maya, daivihai esha gunamai, mama maya duratraya. Now this energy of his is very, very powerful. So to cross over this insurmountable pain and stringent laws of material existence, Krishna says, actually you surrender unto him. And this verse is explaining that actually out of all these, and it's saying out of all these three different creators, maintainers, Lord Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, you get the greatest benefit by surrendering unto Lord Vishnu and rendering devotional service. The way to actually get out of this prison house is to perform devotional service to Lord Vishnu. Prabhupada at the end of the purport starts explaining how, you know, you can try and take shelter of, you know, your family or another powerful demigod, etc., but they cannot take you out of the prison house. Only Lord Vishnu, who has manufactured everything, who knows the ins and the outs, who owns that energy, he knows how you can get out, and there's only one way. Sometimes, you know, when you're in a maze, like a maze is kind of, it's, let's say, a room like this, and you have to somehow get yourself out. And it's like very, very intense. It looks like a forest, it looks like a jungle. You don't know where is left, where is right, you don't know. It's like when you're in a huge field, if you've ever been, you know, out in the farmlands, and there's a huge sugarcane field, like huge, huge reeds, and you get stuck in the middle, you don't know where the main road is, you can't see anything. So material existence, sometimes like you're stuck in a maze, in the middle of a cornfield or something, or a sugarcane field, and you don't know where to look, left or right, where is front, where is back, where am I going? So when we surrender to anything else other than Lord Vishnu, that is our position. We do not know how to get out, we do not know the process. But the farmer, someone who's expert, someone actually who's not bewildered by being in that situation, can take you out of it. And that is why specifically Srila Prabhupada says, you perform devotional service unto the Supreme Lord Vishnu only. Only Lord Vishnu, through devotional service, can you actually get out of material existence. No other powerful personality can take you out. All of these powerful personalities have shown to some degree or the other some shortcoming. Whether it's through a benediction or whether it's through being bewildered by a certain energy or by committing mistakes, they have shown that they have their limitations. But Lord Vishnu has never shown any limitation. There's nothing that the Lord cannot do. He can create an ally at any minute. He can make, you know, he can enter into anything, big or small. Right? He gives life to a banyan tree. He puts a tree in a tiny minute seed. He manufactures different universes, material and spiritual, and he's not touched by matter. So the Lord has no shortcomings at all. He's the supreme intelligence behind everything. So when you have such qualification in a person, why not approach him to give you some hints about what to do with life? All other enemies, they might be, you know, all the devatas. Srila Prabhupada is mentioning a few here. Indra, Varuna, Brahma, they might show us different powerful things they can do through their control of the wind or the water, the oceans, the seas, etc. But no one can surpass the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right, in the understanding that we have in Srimad Bhagavatam, how we'll get into the chapter explaining the incarnations of the Lord and how these incarnations, that are either plenary portions or parts of portions or parts of portions are performing different activities with certain potencies coming from the Supreme Avatari, coming from Krishna. And all of them are appearing in different planets, performing different leelas, different pastimes, so to attract the minds of the devotees and to bewilder the demons or the atheists. And this is what Krishna says he comes to do. And we see his potency spread out through his different energies. So that should be good enough in the beginning for us to understand the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then we develop a mood of great respect, a mood of great awe to know that, yes, this is the Supreme Person. And then once we've understood that gradually, then we start understanding his finer aspect. As a person who can have a relationship with you. So it's up to the Lord to show us how he comes or to choose how he comes. He is not limited to time and space. He can appear in any universe at any time, in any form. And that form is Satchit Ananda. Completely eternal, full of knowledge and bliss in every single species. As Hamsa Avatar, he was given knowledge trying to help others understand how is it that, you know, you're trying to control these senses from the sense objects when the sense objects are already ingrained in the mind. You know, if we go down to Albert Park Lake and ask a swan that question, I don't think that swan will clock back or give us an answer. But Hamsa Avatar, of course, Hamsa Avatar delineated everything and explain to us how to extract, you know, the mind from always being in sense objects. Right? The Hamsa Avatar can do that. Not just any swan. So Krishna as well accepts or he expands himself in different ways as Nrisingadev or Lord Parashuram or Narada or Lord Buddha, Lord Ram, Dhanvantari, Vamanadev, and he's expressing his different potencies. He's showing us how powerful he is. Right? Different fields of work. So this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He expands himself as portion, as particle, as Swayam Rupa, as Swayam Prakash. So many different potencies Krishna has. And this is just to prove to us, listen, it is I who is supreme. No one else can perform activities like me. You know, Krishna in his original state, he plays the flute, he's a cowherd boy, he has a loving relationship with his devotees, etc., etc. And he has so many followers, so many relationships. This we cannot find in the devatas. So it is up to us to decide, after hearing about Krishna's potencies, Krishna's shaktis, Krishna's energies, then we make a gradual elevation of consciousness. Right? We understand that spirit is the basis of all creation, and how to actually get disentangled from the rut of material existence. We develop, in different ways, you can see how we've developed faith in the material energy. But we have faith in Krishna consciousness, Shraddha, and we've developed some kind of faith in material energy. This is why we make so many big, big plans. Big, big houses, big, big skyscrapers, as Prabhupada would say. Big everything, because we think, yes, I belong here. I have faith that this energy, this matter will make me happy. And we cannot be moved. Right, our Shraddha intensifies in the material energy. And then our attention, we're constantly seeing the glories of material energy. We see the glories of the material energy. Right, so we also do some Shravanam Kirtanam for the material energy. But not to our great benefit, of course. We hear about the ins and outs, how to become happy, how to be successful, you know, individually or family, how to perform good sex life, etc., etc. So this is there. They're increasing their hearing and chanting to taking pleasure in the material energy. And then after people get to that stage, you know, they become so fixed in their determination to enjoy and exploit. At any age, you have people who own, you know, Playboy magazine or this corporation or that corporation at age 65, age 70, age 75, they still want to enjoy, and you cannot shake them. You cannot teach an old dog new tricks. They are fixed in their vows and their determination. Unclean vows. Srimad Bhagavatam is saying these are unclean vows because they do not lead one to realizing their eternal constitution with Krishna. And that way, you know, the material desires grow and grow and grow. But for us, we understand, we've been reading these different sections of the Bhagavatam explaining the process from Shraddha to Prema, how through association gradually we develop more faith, we take shelter of a representative of Vishnu, we render devotional service to Lord Vishnu under strict guidance, and in that way material contaminations reduce, reduce and reduce. At the same time we develop a taste for hearing and chanting, and that taste solidifies, the faith even intensifies, that grows to a point where we are fixed and nothing can penetrate. The material energy cannot penetrate. Srila Prabhupada in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita explains that when the living entity is actually very fixed and wants to understand him more, Krishna tells material energy to let go, to loosen the grip on that living entity. So when we develop our taste, our sincere desire to hear, to chant the glories of Lord Vishnu, the material desires subside. This is by Krishna's grace. We show our sincerity, Krishna does his part. And from that point we become fixed in our determination. My only shelter is Lord Vishnu. Like the residents of Vrindavan, their only shelter was Krishna underneath Govardhan Hill. Krishna is the ultimate shelter, the supreme shelter. And once we get to that point, we have even more intensified taste, and that develops into pure love, which is the goal. The goal of our hearing and chanting is to develop pure love for Krishna and nothing else. Not to become spiritually advanced, not to become materially advanced or comfortable, or to become spiritually comfortable. Living in Melbourne or living in some other place, yes, it's alright, I have prasadam, I have japa, I have 12 hour kirtans, it's all good, it's comfortable. No, we have to endeavor to develop pure, unadulterated love towards service to the Lord. And how to please the Lord? The Lord explains that He pleased me through my devotees. I'll stop and I'll ask if there's any questions or comments. Let's go on, Mantra. At
the beginning of the class, you mentioned about happiness. So we feel that we have to find happiness in the material world, and this is why we don't get attached to Krishna. What do you think?
Yeah, but remember, we're delusional. We think that actually I am. It's actually a big illusion, because if you just think about it, a fish is ridiculous to think that it can survive out of water. That is just madness. But it carries on. So the living entity thinks that he can actually be happy in an unnormal situation like being in the material world, where you're just having contact with matter. That's it. And you're actually convinced that, yes, I will derive happiness from this. I will keep on chewing the chewed. But this is actually not happiness. This is foolishness. So when people think that they can actually be happy, it's all mental concoction. You cannot be happy. Because first of all, you don't know who you are. So you're not peaceful because you don't know who you are, you don't know where you're going, you don't know where you've been. So how can you actually be happy? It's an illusion to think that you can actually be happy in material existence. Just as it's an illusion to think that if you feed your material desires, they will go down. They can only increase. So the so-called happiness people experience through sense gratification, That is foolishness. It's not happiness. Because it produces a sensation for the body and for the mind, then that is happiness. And that sensation lasts 2 minutes, 3 minutes, a moment in time. That's just it. If our happiness is based on one moment in your 65 years, then you've really wasted your time in existence. And you hear some people talk, oh, at least, you know, I did this once. And that's it. That's all they remember from their life. At least I partied once and I was a bit naughty, or I did this, or I went to Nepal. And that's your life. That was your happiness. That was your flash of lightning. That is foolish existence. That is not happiness. It is a very sad situation, actually. Material existence is very, very sad. People are happy. I was seeing a post the other day. People are happy committing something like abortion. They're thinking, yeah, this is women's rights, right? It's a woman's body, she can do what she wants with it, etc., etc. Not understand, well, if something is just dead matter, how can it grow? How can matter just grow by itself? Spirit is the basis of creation. So there is life in that, you know, thing that you do not see yet. There is life. How can we say it's not there? Then why does it grow? Very disturbing, actually. I saw one friend posted something the other day about abortion. I couldn't understand. And it was a long article, and basically it was the baby speaking, explaining. It was very interesting how it was written. It was a picture of, not so nice picture of an aborted fetus, and the child was explaining how, like in first person, hi mom, my name is such and such, I have brown hair, blue eyes, I don't have that yet, but I'm growing very slowly, and, you know, explaining like that, today you spoke to me and I could hear you, or today we did this, you went here, you saw dad and he wasn't happy, and then you were quiet and then he hit you. So it just goes on and on explaining how people commit abortion, thinking that there's no life. The very fact that, you know, matter can move means that there is life. Spirit is the source of creation. Spirit, that's the only way we can enjoy, if we are in contact with the Supreme Spirit. If you're just in contact with matter, there is no life in matter. You cannot be happy with matter. It is not possible. That is why Maya Devi creates so many fantasies, so much variety. And people jump from one so-called type of happiness to the other. Because it's dull. We cannot enjoy it forever. She gives you variety to trick you, to think, yes, I have variety, this is life. But it's all a hoax. It's a cheat, it's a scam. Matter can never bring happiness. Okay, Jai, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Shri Prabhupada Ki. Nitai Gaura Premanandam.